Have you ever felt lonely? It's probably a question that all of us can answer in the affirmative. Anyone that answers or understands the question anyway, has at one time or another probably felt lonely in their lives. Had to deal with the emotional and sometimes physical problems that come with a sense of loneliness. It's certainly something that God recognized was a problem for man, and I believe He addresses it in His Word as He does many of the problems that we face even day to day as we go through life. And certainly He was not alone. Others knew of this problem of loneliness, even many of our songwriters, whether we're talking of secular songs or whether we're talking of religious songs. One in particular that I think of was written and we sing from time to time, where no one stands alone. And the author of that song writes in there, "I don't know a thing in the whole wide world that's worse than being alone." Being lonely can be one of the worst feelings that sometimes we endure in life. There have been times I've sat down and spoken with people. And they said, "Really, I feel lonely. I don't always necessarily know why, and I don't really know what to do with it, how to handle it." And yet there are times, for various reasons in our lives, we're going to feel lonely. What does God's Word have to tell us about loneliness? Well, first off, let's look at what we're talking about when we say loneliness and the problems of loneliness. I looked up a definition of one time of loneliness, and it said the state of being alone. Well, that wasn't much help. I looked up what does lonely then mean? Without company. Without companionship, being solitary, and particularly the point we're going to hit out tonight is that those types of feelings can produce sadness in our lives, a sense of a desolation. Nothing's going right. Everything seems like it's wrong. I can't make heads or tails of anything in my life, and it's a feeling that just overcomes me. It overwhelms me. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about loneliness. I want to be very clear, being alone is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, there are times in our life when it's good to be alone. We see this in the life of Jesus in John 6 and verse 15. When He perceived that they would come and take Him by force and to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. There were times that even Jesus Himself sought to be alone as He was upon the face of the earth. He recognized the importance at times of separating ourselves from others and being alone with God. Another occasion we find Him in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days He went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer." There's a time He recognized the need for solitude. To get alone by oneself and to pray. To get alone by oneself and to be able to think on things that are happening in life. It helps us to be alone if we think about the instruction of the righteous man, what he will do, that is recorded in Psalm 1 and verse 2. "That the righteous man delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." There are times when we need to separate ourselves alone, not just to pray unto God, but also to meditate on His Word, to study it, to read it, to think on it, that we might apply it unto our lives. In all of those things, being alone can be a good thing. But oftentimes when we're talking about this feeling of loneliness, feeling of being lonely in life, we're not talking about a feeling that is good. Oftentimes, it's not even a feeling that is very productive in our lives. If we go all the way back to creation, we begin to understand as God created man, He was created as a social being. And so as God looks around and He sees all of His creation, that it was good. Yet there was one thing he recognized, it was out of place. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." Genesis 2:18. He recognized here the need for man to have companionship, for man to have someone to associate with. And so, of course, we know in that account, man, God took out of the rib, out of Adam's side, and with that He created woman and brought her unto him. And Adam called her woman. And so even from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, we saw a need and a desire here for companionship. And that need and that desire continues even unto today. Physiologically and psychologically, and studies have shown it's not good for man to be lonely. It has an effect on his body. It has an effect on his mind. It's been shown that being lonely takes a physical toll on the body, and especially as one gets older, that is even more noticeable. It's generally accepted that it's reported rather that when one is socially integrated, the longer you live. When man is associating with others, when he has relationships, when he has others that he surrounds himself with, those are all positive factors in his life that help remove us from this feeling of loneliness. And so, yes, it has a physical effect on us. And let's think about then, as we talk about this definition, what are some types of loneliness? The one that we probably might first think of is simple social loneliness. Here being separated or isolated from others, and for various reasons. Maybe someone's in a nursing home or some other type of facility, and here is physical separation from their family that they don't have the same association that they once knew. Maybe it's because of travel, and we're away from those that we know, and we're away from those that we love. Maybe even it's because we're sick for a time, whether we're in the hospital or at home, and there's removed from us some of those relationships that we typically enjoy. You know, there were some that knew this social isolation in their lives. I think back to the lepers, especially when we think about the law of Moses. How a leper was to be removed outside of the city, outside of his home, away from the relationships even of his family, Leviticus 13 and verse 46. He was set outside of the city. And yet, you know, something strikes me about the lepers. They didn't go and sit out by themselves if they had a choice, I would assume. And what I'm thinking about there is Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. Here were a group of 10 lepers. Even the lepers that were cast outside of the city, it seems, oftentimes formed a community of their own. They had relationships. They longed for that social interaction even with one another because they didn't want to be socially separated from others. And so when we find ourselves all alone and no one around, no one to talk to, no one to visit with, that can also often lead to this type of social loneliness. But you know, there's another type. Emotional. In this type of loneliness, I can be surrounded by people and feel all alone in the world. We have a world of 6+ billion people, and I can be in the biggest city of the world, and people surround me all of the time. I can even come to a church building such as this, and the pews could be full, and I could be right in the middle of everybody and still feel all alone in the world. Because I feel disconnected from others. I feel like even though I'm surrounded by people, there's no real sense of companionship. And so I'm all alone, even in a crowd of people. What can we do even when we have that type of loneliness? And then the worst, spiritual. Spiritual loneliness is the most destructive and the first one I'm going to suggest we have to work on in our lives. And this is the separation or isolation from God. This is when sin has separated us from God. It's severed that relationship that we long for. that we as spiritual beings need. That oftentimes we can talk to people that are searching for something in their lives and they don't always know what. There's some emptiness within them. And they're looking to fill that in any way that they can. And oh, they'll turn to so many things of this world, but it won't fill that relationship. Oh, they'll turn to material things and seek after everything that they can get in life, and that won't help. I can be the richest person in the world and feel all alone and still be spiritually separated from God. Maybe I'll turn to pleasures and I'll try to find in the exciting things of this world and the things that bring me physical pleasure in life. I'll seek after all of those things. And it doesn't fill that hole. It doesn't fill that gap. I can still be all alone. Oh, maybe I'll search after fulfillment, recreation, entertainment, other things that seem to bring some meaning to me in life, and I won't find it there. Maybe through medication or drugs, through alcohol, through other such things that we would put into our bodies. And yet it won't be found there. No, that sin is what separates us from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, and that He will not hear. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Here's the cause of that spiritual loneliness. My sin has separated me from God. And so I can search after all of those things of the earth. I can try to find meaning in them. I can try to find purpose. I can try to cure that feeling of loneliness, but it won't be found there. Solomon tried many of those things that we've spoken of. He tried to find meaning in them, and yet at the end he had to come to this conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 13. As a wise man, I sought after all of these things of the earth to try to find meaning and pleasure and fulfillment in them. And they're all vanity without God. Because I can be socially integrated and emotionally not be lonely, but without God, there's still going to be that hole. There's still going to be that blank. There's still going to be a loneliness that I feel within me that nothing of this world can fulfill. And so there are various types of loneliness maybe that we struggle with at different times of our lives. And why is this such a problem? Well, I believe the biggest problem of it is because when we begin to have such feelings of loneliness, it distorts our way of thinking. When I feel like I am alone, and I feel like no one is around me, whether that's true in terms of that physical loneliness, that social loneliness in which no one is there, or whether it's true of that emotional loneliness, that really people are surrounding me, but I'm not really connecting with them socially, that I feel lonely. And I begin thinking, no one really cares about me. I think the psalmist knew or expressed that type of feeling in Psalm 142 and verse 4. I looked on my right and beheld there was no man that would know me. And refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I think this is a problem of loneliness at times. Because we feel lonely, we think no one cares. Because we feel lonely, we think that really we're having to bear all of the problems of our life all alone. We feel isolated from everyone else, even if we're surrounded by people and yet there's no real connection between us. And certainly it's true for the one that's isolated from God. Who cares for me? Who really is concerned that I'm going through some difficulty or I'm going through some problem? Again, different situations. Maybe this is the person at the nursing home. That all of a sudden, maybe there's things that go on here, but I feel like my family has left me here. I feel like my family has removed themselves from me. Maybe it's the one that simply says, well, no one ever visits me and no one ever calls to check on me. Maybe sometimes, unfortunately, it's the older member of a family. It's outlived some of their relatives. It's outlived some of their family. Because maybe they didn't have descendants of their own, they become feeling very lonely. It becomes very quiet. Maybe it's because of death that's happened to our family. And there's someone that we loved and someone that we cherished, someone that we would go and we visit with, and all of a sudden there's this hole left in our life. It's probably no more true of any time other than a spouse. Someone we've spent 40, 50, 60, 70 years with. And all of a sudden they're gone. Now how do I handle that void that's in my life now? Oh, maybe this is even the person that's coping with some long-term illness. And when it first happened, there were people that were surrounding me. People sent me cards. People were calling. How are you doing? How's everything going? But you know, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, a month, 2 months. I don't get as many phone calls anymore. I don't get as many cards anymore. I don't have as many people stopping by to visit. Does anyone even remember that I'm here? Does anyone remember that I'm going through these difficulties or these struggles that I'm going through in life? Maybe it's the person for one reason or another has problems making friends in life. And so, yes, I go about my day. I go to work and I talk to people. I go to church and I see people there. I go out into town and I'll see a few people that I know and I'll say hello, but I really don't have a friend. And I begin wondering, does anybody really care? What if I dropped off the face of the earth tomorrow and disappeared? Would anyone know? Would anyone miss me? And when those feelings start piling in on us, we have this problem of loneliness. I began thinking, there's no one in the world that cares for me. No one is interested in how I'm doing. My thinking's distorted, and now all of a sudden I can't see anything but the problems of life. The desolation that I'm facing. And what's happened here is we've forgotten a lot of things. We've forgotten that indeed there are a lot of people that care for us. Our loneliness has blinded us from that. It's distorted our way of thinking. And all of a sudden we've forgotten, first and foremost, that God cares for us. Again, we go to His Scriptures. Is there not a reminder that God cares for us? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What problems, what difficulties, what struggles are you going through that God doesn't care about? What problem does God not care about when here He's taken the biggest problem that man ever had, this spiritual loneliness that we talked about, this spiritual separation. And He sent His Son as a display of love into the world to remove that separation, John 3 and verse 16. What other problems in life does He not care about? Does He not want us to take before Him in prayer? Does He not want us to bring before Him in petition? These are the problems I'm facing. These are the difficulties that I'm going through. And know that there is one that is listening, that cares for you, that loves you, that wants the best for you. Loneliness will cause us to forget that God cares for us and that there always is someone that's interested in what we're going through. But not only that, loneliness can cause us to forget that God's people care for us. Oh yes, sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're not going to be as good about making phone calls or visits or cards or checking in on someone or wishing them a good day. But nevertheless, God's people truly do care for one another. If we don't, then the problems first and foremost with us is God's people. And so we're reminded, Matthew 22, verse 39. And Jesus said, as He was speaking of the great commandments, first and foremost, we're to honor and love and serve God. But the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Christian is commanded even to go forth with great compassion and love and concern, even one for another. Speaking of Christians, Jesus would later say, John 15 and verse 12, as He's speaking to His disciples, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The greatest display of love, that one would give his life for another. And He says, you go forth and you love others, even in that way. You show an agape love that seeks the best interest one of another, certainly to one another as Christians, but to people all over the world. Even unto your enemies, that type of love is commanded of the Christian. And so certainly God's people cares for those that are going through difficulties and struggles and trials in their life. And yet we can forget that. We can forget that there's a whole family here, if you will, that loves and cares for you, that is interested in the problems and the difficulties that you're facing. But when all we see is the difficulty, well, we forget about those that love us. God's children help bear one another's burdens. Oh yes, there are burdens that each of us individually have to bear. Paul is going to tell that in Galatians chapter 6. But at the same time, he says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. There is a burden that you can bear and no one else can. But of the struggles and the difficulties that we go through in life, there are struggles, there are burdens here, Paul says, you help one another with. The idea here is of a great burden, of a great rock or boulder, if you will, that one cannot shoulder alone. Unfortunately, I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians, sometimes the people that are best at helping others are the worst at accepting help from others. They want to do everything themselves, and so can be overly burdened. And yet we need to remember, here are a whole group of people that want to help us bear the burdens that we face in life. There are people that surround us and encourage us. Sometimes loneliness might be brought on by ourselves if we're shutting others out that want to help us, that want to care for us and show that love and concern that they have for us. And so again, all of these things go both ways. Am I, as a Christian, doing that which I can to help others? But also, if I'm struggling with loneliness, am I even letting people get close to me? Am I letting anyone else show that love and concern that they have for me to help me through these struggles and through these difficulties? And certainly, closely related with that, God's people help the faint-hearted. In writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, and Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. Oh yes, there are those that are going to struggle, that are going to have difficulties in all sorts of areas of their lives. But we as God's people, we're helping them, we're encouraging them, we're having patience with them, we're wanting to support them in any way that we can. Are we going to let them? We're going to let them help us through those struggles, but then also again, as we as God's people, are we going to be there to offer that support and that encouragement? And so we've defined loneliness, particularly when it becomes a problem in our lives, of bringing on this feeling of desolation. It's a problem when it distorts our thinking, and it becomes that way because we think no one in the world cares, and it allows that loneliness to snowball on itself and become a heavier and heavier burden. So what? If we recognize the problem in our lives, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to cope with loneliness? And this goes back to something I said a moment ago, that first and foremost, to deal with loneliness in our lives, we have to have a right relationship with God. We talked about social isolation and emotional isolation and then spiritual isolation, which we said was the worst. That's the separation from God. If we're going to deal with loneliness, I propose to you that's the first one we have to deal with. That's the greatest one that we're going to struggle with in life, is first we have to have that right relationship with God. You say that's overly simplified. That's boiling it down to one little thing. But it's true. God has provided that means whereby that spiritual isolation can be removed. He cared about that problem of spiritual loneliness that began in the Garden of Eden. That here now man was separated from Him by sin. And any time now man continues in rebellion to God and refuses to change when sin is pointed out in his life, he still has that problem of spiritual isolation apart from God. Work on getting that right first. God's already provided the means. Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 through 21. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God's provided that means to reconcile, to bring back two parties together. The amazing part of that is God isn't the one that stepped away. It's man. And yet God was there all along saying, this is how you can restore that relationship. I'm going to do my part, and we see that fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He says, but if you'll come back to me in faithfulness, you even can be reconciled unto God. That spiritual isolation, that spiritual loneliness is going to be removed. And that's going to bring about greater peace, greater joy, greater comfort in our lives. In writing to Christians, John said in 1 John 1, verse 4 through 7, these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm writing unto you to be a faithful Christian. I'm writing unto you to have that right relationship with God. And what's the end result going to be? That your joy might be full. Another problem of loneliness. Doesn't it rob us of joy and pleasure and fulfillment in life? You fulfill that right relationship with God, and He says, then your joy can be full. This is the message, verse 5, that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I believe as you reach the end of that verse, verse 7, you begin to see how creating that right relationship with God is the primary focus in restoring the other problems, or correcting the other problems of loneliness. That you first and foremost make sure you have that right relationship with God, that your joy might be full. And when you do that, when you're walking in the light as He is in the light, what then? We have fellowship one with another. I believe John is speaking there of having that right relationship first and foremost with God. But then I have a fellowship or a relationship also then spiritually with those that are in that right relationship with God. That I'm in fellowship with you as I'm in fellowship with God and as you are in fellowship with God. It completes, if you will, that triangle. That when we're both right with God, we can have that spiritual fellowship even one with another. That right there begins to link together that other social and emotional loneliness. If I first deal with that spiritual loneliness and I have that right relationship with God, then I'm going to have a family that also has a right relationship with God. A family that loves me, a family that's concerned for me, a family that will help me in the difficulties of life, a family with whom I'm going to have friends, that I'm going to have interaction with. But yet, if nothing else, it's going to remind me God is always going to be there. That here is one that has promised, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And maybe this is made no clearer than in the life of Jesus Christ. As He's reaching near the end of His life, and He knows He's about to go away, His interest and His concern is on His disciples. John 14 through 16, He starts out there in John 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Wait a minute. Here's a man whose heart's about to be breaking. Here's a man who in a very short period of time is going to be pouring out his heart unto God, his Father in heaven, bleeding even as sweat drops of blood over the anguish of what he knows he's about to have to face. And he speaks to his disciples to encourage them, "Let not your heart be troubled." And we fast forward a little bit and we find him in that garden, Matthew 26, and he's praying unto God fervently. He says to his friends in verse 38 of Matthew 26, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and he fell on his face praying, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. Jesus is in the heartbreak of his life. In some ways, the darkest hour of his life, in which he knows all that's about to happen. He knows he's about to be delivered up. He knows that Judas is in the very process of delivering him under the soldiers that are going to take him away. He knows that he's about to go to the cross. His heart is literally breaking. And he's asked his disciples, "Tarry here with me, watch and pray." And while he's pouring out his heart to God, they're sleeping. He comes out, he finds them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went again the second time praying and saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them. And he went away again, prayed the third time, and sang the same words. Can you imagine Jesus? His heart's literally breaking. The three closest friends he has on earth, and can't even see it. The ones that he ought to be able to go to now and find comfort and strength, it's not there. They're asleep. Can you imagine a moment in his life when he felt any more lonely than that? And yet there was something that comforted him. In just a few moments, the soldiers are going to come and take him away. And it's recorded for us in Matthew 26 and verse 56. "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. All of the disciples forsook him and fled." When he comes to be arrested, or when they come to arrest him, even Peter that has said, "I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never deny your name," even he has fled away. Even he is about to deny 3 times that he even knows the man Jesus. And yet here was one of Jesus' closest friends. Maybe we're not too surprised at his enemies. We know Jesus is going to the cross to die for his enemies, but what about his friends? "Even they all have forsaken me." And you want to talk about someone that ought to be lonely at that point, you would think of Jesus Christ. And yet he had already told them something. He had already told them in John 16 and verse 32 that he was not alone. He said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." When everybody else deserted Jesus, there was something he could take comfort in. There was someone that he could rely on. "I'm not alone because the Father's with me." I can't get into it tonight, but I don't believe for a moment that God literally turned His back on His Son on the cross. I believe when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus knew at that moment, the one time when he had prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," but it couldn't pass. "My God, it had always been there for me all along the way. Here was the one time He couldn't save me. Here was the one time He couldn't make it all right, because He had to die. And you know what gave Jesus strength and courage to go to that cross? He says, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. We can be in the darkest moments of our life, and we can feel like no one's around, and maybe physically there is no one around, but yet God is still there with us if we have this right relationship with Him. And so that has to be first and foremost. That if I'm going to cope with loneliness, I've got to have this right relationship with God, because then I know He's always going to be there. But then as we move along, what about those other problems of social and emotional isolation? What about when I find myself alone? What about when I feel like no one cares? Well, as we said, first and foremost, have that right relationship with God. And when you have that right relationship with God, then get active in the work of the church. This is going to do something amazing for you. When we are busy, we tend not to think about the problems of our lives nearly as much. When we're helping others, we don't think about our own problems as much. And not only that, when we're active in the work of the church, almost every time, it's going to have us involved with somebody. And so get in that right relationship with God and then become active in the work of the church. Whether it be calling people, whether it be visiting people, whether it be sending them cards, whether it's making food for those that need it, whether it's sitting with those that are sick, whether it be going with others out to a lectureship or some meeting, whether it be going door knocking in groups with other people. There are all sorts of situations in which if we'll get involved in the work of the church, we're going to be associating with other people. Get involved in the work of the church, and as we said, not only does it get us involved with people, it removes our mind from the problems and the difficulties we're going through. Sometimes it puts it in perspective. I feel like things are going pretty bad for me until I go and visit with the person in the hospital that is writhing in pain. I may not have it so bad anymore. I believe this was at least part of the idea behind Paul as he wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In that same chapter, Paul is going to be speaking of a time in which he thought his life was over. And it taught him to trust in God. And he says, now, with the comfort that we've received of God and all of the difficulties that we go through in life, what it has taught us is how to go forth and help other people better. If you're feeling lonely, why not go out and help others? Who can I help? You might start with the people that are having the same problems that you've gone through in life. You have some knowledge of those areas. You know what it feels like to be in their shoes, at least to some degree. So help them. And at the same time, what are you going to be doing? Forging relationships that aren't going to make you feel as lonely anymore. Indeed, we're part of a family. Time and time again, the church is described as the household of God, literally composed of brothers and sisters in Christ. And so get involved with one another. I don't want anyone to call me this week and say, I'm lonely, if you don't stay and join us tonight after our worship services. The meeting place is there. The food is left over from the Summer Youth Series. And the people are going to be there. Get involved in the things that the church is doing. You have ability to sign cards and send them off to people that need the encouragement. And so, if we're involved in the work of the church, we're necessarily going to find ourselves involved in the lives of people. That's going to help us deal with that problem of isolation and that problem of loneliness. You see, loneliness isn't ever going to be helped when withdrawal. I'm not going to feel more surrounded by people if I remove myself from their association. So I need to get involved. Also, trust the promises of God. This goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago, that here indeed is the God that said, I will not leave you or forsake you, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Here is a God in whom I can trust His promises. We oftentimes go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and we're talking about the promise of the end of the world, but all of the promises of God. Be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Verse 8 and 9. The Lord's going to keep His promises. The Lord is going to stay true to them. And so if there's ever anyone in life that I can trust, trust in the promises of God. Did not Paul even say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Trust in Him. It says none of the problems that you go through in life, whether they're spiritual, whether they're physical, whether they're the problems with people, whatever it might be, none of those things can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I might walk away from it. I might get out of that right relationship with God. But I can trust in His promises. He's never going to leave me. And so in the same line of thinking, stay close to God. Draw ever near to Him. When the psalmist knew difficulties and problems, even when he looked around at the world and said, why do the wicked prosper? Maybe I should do what they do because they seem to be living all right. You don't see them in problems and difficulties. And tempted maybe even to go into the ways of the world and struggling with these great problems. Yet he'll conclude in Psalm 73 verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all of Thy works. Draw near to God. Does not James tell us in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh to you. You draw close to God. Remember that promise we've just said. He's not the one that's going to walk away from that relationship. He's not the one that will be at fault when we feel that spiritual separation or isolation. And so are we going to turn back and continue to be faithful with God? Then again, trust His promise. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. He cares about you. He's listening. He wants to hear from you. For the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And stay close to God. Continue in that right relationship with God. Maybe that seems overly simplified. But I believe that's the problem or the solution to all of those problems of isolation. That it's always going to start with having that right relationship with God. And that's going to get us involved in the lives of other people. And out of the sunkenness, out of the desperation that we feel in our own lives. That even one that is sitting there and maybe can't even get out of bed might be able to sign a card. And that we also will be encouraged as we think about these things. There are people like that that need my visits, that need my encouragement. And then when I get involved in their lives, that's going to help me deal with all of these problems, all of these difficulties. And so, yes, have a right relationship with God. Because when that's right, we're going to start having some right relationships with man. Oh, yes, we're going to face times in our lives, I'm sure, that we're going to feel lonely. There are going to be things that happen in which those that we love suddenly maybe are not there anymore. And we're going to have to handle those difficulties and those problems. But again, let's stay active in the work of the church. Let's stay active and involved and moving along. Remember to stay faithful unto God. And it's going to help us deal with those problems and those difficulties. Remember that there are brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful Christians that care right alongside with God your Father, that cares about all the difficulties that you go through in life. And ultimately, can we not be like Jesus? Yea, though the world depart from me, though everyone would flee, and though maybe even I was the only one that remained faithful, nevertheless, I know God is there. I know He cares for me. I know He knows what's going on. I know He hears my prayer. And so I'm going to follow with Him. And remember, of course, as we said, that we're thankful, especially in this area, we have a great family. A family that surrounds and loves and cares for you as a faithful family of God. Are you struggling with loneliness and difficulties? Don't be alone in those things. Seek out the comfort and the care of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember the care that God sheds upon you. But remember, if I'm ultimately going to deal with that problem, I first have to be in a right relationship with God. Are you a New Testament Christian tonight? There's no hope. There's no real future or joy to look forward to without that right relationship. And so even tonight, make the decision that I am going to decide to follow God. I am ready to confess Christ, to repent of my sins, and to be baptized be baptized in the name of the Lord, that I can be buried in water. Those sins are washed away and I'm rise again as a new creature. Right relationship with God. Maybe as a Christian, though, part of my problems of loneliness have been a separation that I feel not only from people, but from God. And so make those things right in our lives. We recognize the sin and we turn from them, just like David, which we studied this morning, that says, wash me, make me whole, make me clean as I turn from this and follow You once again, that I can be in a right relationship with You. Then we can go about restoring and repairing relationships that we have with others in life. Are you subject to that invitation? Either to respond publicly to the gospel invitation to become a New Testament Christian or to be restored to a faithful relationship with God, or maybe a private decision that once again I'm going to be more active and more busy in serving the Lord, and that's going to help me in dealing with these problems of difficulties, of loneliness. I'm going to be involved even with the lives of a great Christian family. That's going to help me as well. If you're subject to that need or invitation, wouldn't you let it be known, even together, as we stand and sing?